Isaiah 25, verse 1 says, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, and the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. I want you to see in verse number 4 tonight what Isaiah said. He said, Lord, you have been a strength to the poor. You have been a strength to the needy in his distress. You've been a refuge from the storm. And for just a little while tonight, I wanted to preach to you on this thought, three preachers in a storm. Now, when we read about the Word of God and we think about storms, we have a concept that comes in our mind about a literal storm, and that is true. You know, we can visualize the lightning flashing and the waves are rolling and the wind is blowing and a huge, terrible storm. In fact, the word storm is defined as to deliver a violent attack. It means to unleash a violent assault upon a country or upon a city like Hurricane Katrina. But then as you come over to the New Testament in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this, these things I have spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now when you read about the word tribulation as Jesus used it here, the definition of tribulation means to thrash or to beat. So the definition of tribulation means to shake very violently. It has an idea that much like a storm that comes upon a person to a nation or to a city, that idea of just a churning, a shaking, an unrest. And so Jesus said that in this life that we shall have tribulations, or can I phrase it this way, we shall have storms in this life. I think it was Brother Mays that said, I contribute to him, but he said, you're one of three places. Either, you know, you're in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into one in a spiritual sense. Life is filled full of storms. And the Word of God, though, there are three preachers I want to point out to you tonight in the time we have, that these three preachers had a storm to come into their life, and how they dealt with that storm, and how that God taught them as well as us some lessons through the storm. And so tonight, if you would, follow me along. And tonight we're going to learn some things. If we're going to have those tribulations, if we're going to have those storms, we might as well understand how to survive one of those storms that come into our lives. So now, in the Word of God, there are three things here. We're going to see tonight a preacher, we're going to see a congregation, and we're going to see a church. Now, in symbolism, we're going to see a literal preacher, but then when we talk about a congregation, we're going to talk about a group of people. And in some instances, in some of those cases, we're talking about a group of people that were either on board or they were going through the storm with that preacher. And then last of all, we're going to look at the church or the ship. As each one of these preachers, they're going to be dealing with a group of people, and they're going to be dealing with a ship in that storm, and we liken that unto the church. So with that in mind, number one, there's the first preacher that I want to call your attention. It's found in the book of Jonah, chapter number 1. This first preacher caused a storm. In Jonah chapter number 1, you know the word of God as it's spoken to Jonah, and he said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. There's a call of God to this preacher by the name of Jonah. And God said to Jonah, cry out against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, by way of introduction here, Jonah was a man that was trying to run from God. You see, he knew that these Ninevites had their eyesight on his country. He knew that from past enemies that they had defeated, they were a very cruel, wicked people. The Ninevites were some of the most horrible, committed some of the most horrible acts of atrocities that's ever recorded. There are inscriptions where they would take a man and literally peel his hide while he was alive, nail the hide to the wall. They would take a king, cut his thumbs off, and make him scour around, try to pick up a piece of bread. They were very wicked people, and they had already defeated everybody else, and now they were looking at Israel. And Jonah said in his mind, he said, if they get to Israel, they get to my people, they're going to kill my kindred. They're going to kill my countrymen. They're going to kill my neighbors, my friends, my loved ones. And so he said, look, God said, if I don't go and preach to them, he's going to destroy them. So the best thing I can do is disobey and not go. Now, I'll be honest, Jonah was a prejudiced man. He just didn't like these people. He didn't like that race of people. He didn't care for them. And God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And instead, Jonah went down the opposite direction. He paid the fare. He got on board ship, and he headed down to Tarshish, some 2,000 miles away. And the Bible said he sought to flee from the very presence of the Lord. He probably figured God would never find him way down in Tarshish. He probably figured God would never look for him way down there, 2,000 miles away from where he's supposed to be. Well, the first thing I notice here, his disobedience caused him a severe problem. When Jonah disobeyed the Lord, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry out against it. That's pretty clear and plain. God said to Jonah, I want you to go. I want you to preach to the Ninevites. I want you to proclaim. You better repent, or either sudden destruction is going to come. I'm going to overthrow this city. Pretty clear. But Jonah disobeyed. Now, this man of God didn't obey, and because of his disobedience, not only did he pay for it, but it affected other folks. For you find that here that as Jonah went down, the Bible says, he got on board ship, he paid the fare, it cost him his money. If he had listened to God, God would have met all of his needs, supplied everything he needed, but he ran in the opposite direction, it cost him his money. He got on board ship, and once he got on board ship, because of this man's disobedience, the congregation had to suffer. For he got on board that ship and they set out into the water, and all of a sudden a great storm arose. God sent that storm. And those sailors that were on board that ship, they were caught in the middle of that storm, not because of their fault, not anything they had done, but because of the disobedience of this preacher. You know, my friend, his disobedience caused him to be out of touch with God. He didn't even pray. He hadn't sought the Lord. He didn't listen to God. He tried to disobey and tried to run as far as he could. And beloved, may I say to you, is that when you try to run from God and you disobey God, it only makes matters worse. It doesn't make them better. And God will find you wherever you run to. You might say, I'll run as far as I can get. Nobody will ever find me. God will. He has a way of finding folks. He has a way of searching out. And here the shipmaster came to him, and Jonah was down in the ship. He was fast asleep, and the shipmaster came and woke him up. And here's the ironic thing. If you read the book of Jonah, Jonah had told these lost men that he was a prophet of God and that he was running from God. Duh. Why would you want to do that?
Why would you in the world want to tell these guys that you are running from God? Maybe it was a guilty conscience. The shipmaster comes down to him and says, he said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it be that God will think upon us that we perish not." You see, because of Jonah's disobedience, he had his congregation grabbing at straws. They were doing everything in their power to try to keep the ship afloat. Verse 7 says, "And they said one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us." Now, they almost lost the ship. What did we say a while ago? We're going to symbolize that. They almost lost the church. This man of God, this prophet of God, out of the will of God, almost cost the congregation to lose their church, to lose their ship. They tried to keep the ship afloat. They tried to keep the church afloat. The Bible says that every one of them began to row as hard as they could row, but the harder they tried to keep it afloat, the stronger the waves got. That wasn't the answer. In fact, the Bible said in verse 13 of Jonah chapter 1, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." You know, beloved, there are churches today that are still trying to keep the ship afloat. They're still trying to breathe life into it. They're still trying to grab at straws and try to do something to the power of God has departed, and the presence of God has departed, and the joy of the Lord is gone. But they say, "Listen, if we could just get maybe some new music, if we can get a little bit more contemporary program, if we could do this and we could do that, we could keep her afloat." And all time, it goes back here to this man, the disobedience. He wasn't in the will of God. And so what did the sailors do? He said that in order to save the congregation, that prophet was cast overboard. In verse 15 says, "They took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea." Why? Why did he do that? Why did Jonah say, and by the way, Jonah did not know that there was a great fish prepared for him. Jonah didn't know that God had a taxi prepared for him. Jonah said, "Listen, it's all my fault. And if you just go ahead and throw me overboard, I'll drown and everything will be okay." Boy, isn't that a sad way to leave this world? But I've known some men of God that have done that, sad to say. I know some that have taken their lives because of sin, disobedience, sad. I've known that to happen. It's not a good way to go. And Jonah said, "If you just throw me overboard," he said, I'm not right with God. I'm not going to get right with God. Just go ahead and kill me." The Bible said in chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad tonight that God doesn't write us off like we write some folks off? God gives us a second chance. God picks us up out of the dirt, out of the muck, out of the mire, and God will wipe us off, clean us up, and dust us off, and set us back. And he said, "Now I'm going to give you a second go-round." And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and what did he say? "Go and preach the same message that I told you to preach." This time Jonah obeyed, and a great revival broke out. The second preacher I want you to see tonight is the preacher that rode out the storm. The first preacher, it was because of disobedience that he was in a storm. The second preacher rode out the storm, or it became calm. In Acts chapter 27, if you want to turn there, in verse number 9 says this, "Now when much time was spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be of hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of the life." Paul warned them before they even started out. Paul said, "Listen, fellas, there's going to be a storm you're going to run into. And guys, if you would listen unto the man of God, you can avoid the storm." Now, first of all, this preacher, unlike Jonah, he was right with God. He was plugged in. He was listening to God. He was hearing from God. He walked with the Lord. And so this preacher here, he gave some good advice to this congregation of men. He said, fellas, I've heard from God. I've listened to the Lord. And God has said, you best not set off in this journey. But you know what they did? If you read that story there, they looked around and everything looked good. I mean, the skies were blue, the sun was shining, and even the Bible says when they started that journey, the south winds blew softly. I can almost imagine they got on board that ship, and man, those south winds just pushing right down through the ocean, and they probably had like a cruise going on. They were like, man, this is good. Man, look at here. I mean, they propped back with a Pepsi in one hand and a pack of crackers in the other, and they're just cruising along. Life is good. But Paul said, you're going to run into a storm. And sure enough, as the Bible says there in Acts 27, all of a sudden the south winds quit blowing, and now the next thing you read is there is a great tempestuous wind that's called Euroclydon, which really is a hurricane, and it begins to blow. You see, Paul was following the will of God for his life. But now, because of the congregation, because of this group of sailors, because of this group of sailors, they didn't listen to the man of God. Now, can I say something that can I step out of this pastor's shoes for just a minute? It is very important for a church. Now, in my years of ministry, most of the time, I have run across very few, but I've run across some, that if there is a man of God that is his doctrine is off, or he's living in sin, then by all means, he's not right with God. But folks, can I step out of that pastor's shoe just a minute? If a man of God is right with the Lord and God is directing him, then the church needs to say, preacher, we're going to follow your direction. We're gonna follow what God has given unto you. You're the shepherd. Christ is the great shepherd. You're the under shepherd. And you're the man of God. You've been placed here. God's put you here. And we need to listen and follow. You see, these folks here, Paul said, guys, let me tell you something. God says you best not go on this journey. And they said, we're not going to listen to you. We're going to do it anyway. And what happened? Well, you read on there. It cost them everything they held dear. For the Bible says that when the storm arose and they got in the storm, all of a sudden, all the tackling, all the stuff they had on the ship, they threw it overboard. You see, my friend, sometimes when we disobey God's leading, it cost us, and it may cost us material things. Because they needed the things that they would have, the things they threw overboard. They were going to need them in their future. But instead, they had to toss them overboard. Why? Because they chose to disobey the leading of Paul. Look in verse 19 if you're following me along. The Bible said, the third day we cast with our own hands the tackling of the ship. You see, beloved, if you don't follow the leading of the man of God, and you're going to get in a storm, you're going to have some problems, you're going to have some heartache, you're going to have some disappointments, you're going to have some trouble that's going to come. Why? Because these sailors here chose not to listen to the man of God. Now watch this. Some of the hardest words that people ever have to swallow is this. I told you so. Paul came up in verse 21. He says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. And now Paul, though, he wasn't the typical pastor. He wasn't a typical fellow. And he didn't come up and say, bad church member, bad church member. Even though they messed up, even though they didn't listen, Paul was a good pastor because he loved them. And he said this, he taught those guys to have faith in God.
in the midst of the storm. When their world was falling apart, when they looked like the ship was going down, when they tossed aside everything they owned, all the boxes, all the tackling, all the stuff that they had accumulated, then Paul says, be of good cheer, for I've heard from God. And you'll not have any loss of life. This old ship here, it's going to be broken apart, but there'll not be one person that will perish. Boy, aren't you glad that in the time of need that there are some folks that can get in touch with the Lord? Amen? I'm glad tonight that thank God for some good men that can pray and get a hold of God when this preacher is going through a valley, when this preacher is fighting a battle, that there's some men that will stand and lift up the hands of the man of God and said, we're holding you up. We're praying for you. We've got your back. You're not going this alone. We're standing, fighting. Aren't you glad? Now, Paul said to these guys, trust in the Lord. And he said, the God in whom I serve, he will deliver you. Storm or no storm, Paul still trusted in the Lord. Beloved, you are going to have some storms. As a church, you're going to have some storms. As an individual, you're going to have some storms. But remember, it's hard, but remember, never doubt in the dark what you have believed in the light. Can I illustrate that? If I were to ask Keith tonight to turn out all the lights in here, we would dim and close the curtains. Would y'all agree with me that even in the dark, when you cannot see, that this pew in front of me is not going to move? Amen? I sure hope it. So if this pew doesn't move in the dark, I can't see it, but it's still there. And the Word of God, you may not see it in the dark, but it's still there. You may not understand it. You may not comprehend it. You may pull your hair out and you say, I don't understand why. But rest assured, don't doubt the things that you have believed in the sunshine. When the storm comes and you can't see the light of day, you don't know what tomorrow's going to hold, you don't know what the end is going to hold, still have faith in God. He'll never let you down. Stay with the ship, Paul told him. Stay with the ship. And can I say this to you? The best place that you can be on a Sunday night, thank God for you, is the house of the Lord. Amen. The best place you can be on a Sunday morning is the house of the Lord. Stay with the ship. You know, I don't know why sometimes when trouble comes, some folks, it seems like when trouble comes, the first thing they want to do is forsake the house of the Lord. It's like, well, you know, I just got hurt, got disappointed, or whatever else. The storm came. Somebody said something about me. Somebody criticized me. Some bad thing happened to my family. Somebody died, and so I'm not going back to church. What a shame. Because, beloved, as Paul said, stay with the ship. He said, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to stick with the ship. Through thick and thin, I'm going to stay on board. Don't jump ship. Don't leave the ship. Don't go off in the water. Stay right in the house of the Lord. Last preacher in the storm, and that is found in Mark chapter 4. This last preacher calmed the storm. And that preacher is the Lord Jesus. Mark 4 says, and the same day when the evening was now come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. I'll be quick about this. And he goes on down through there, and as he said, they got on board the ship. They started over the Sea of Galilee. And as they got halfway over, the Bible says there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, and it was now full. Water was coming over, filling up the boat. I believe those experienced fishermen, they'd been out on that water many a time. They knew what to do. They knew how to swing that sail. They knew how to hold that tackling. They knew how to bail. And I believe they knew how to row. And I believe they were doing all they could do in their own power to keep that boat afloat. But as the harder they tried, the more the water filled in. And finally, they went down and they woke up Jesus. The Bible said he was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And they said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish. Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind, the waves, and he said, Peace, be still. And there came a great calm. That storm that was raging now became a great calm. Now here it is. You see, this storm was not caused by the congregation. This storm was not caused by the man of God. You see, this storm was caused because they were in the will of God for their lives. You're going to have some storms, even if you do everything right, even if you are faithful, even if you tithe, even if you go the extra mile, you're going to have some storms. No doubt about it. Now, this storm didn't come because of the man of God. Because he was the ideal preacher. He was the sinless perfection. There was nothing wrong that he had done. God wasn't trying to get even. God wasn't trying to chasten anybody. So you say, preacher, why did this storm come? Why did Jesus in this ship with the waves beating across it, who really caused that storm? Here's what I believe. The Bible says that Satan is the prince and the power of the air. I believe that Satan just stirred the air up, stirred the winds up, stirred the waves, and came beat upon the ship. Why would he do something like that? Because here is the key to that. And if you hadn't turned there, turn over there just a second, and I'll be done. Mark chapter 4, verse number 36, real quick. I think I have an answer. Mark 4, 36. The Bible said here, Jesus said in verse 35, let us pass over to the other side. And now in verse 36, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Now notice everybody with me, if you've got that. And there were also with him, what? Yeah, other little ships. Here was Jesus in one ship, the disciples in one ship. I don't know how big it was, but the Bible said there were some other little ships. And Jesus said, let's pass over to the other side. They let out. They're headed over the Sea of Galilee. At the same time that they're sailing, guess what? All these little boats are coming up behind them. They're following the Master. They're following the disciples. Why would Satan want to rear up and stir up the wind and cause the waves to beat on this ship? Why would he want to try to destroy these people? I'll tell you why. Because they had set out to do something for God, and there were folks that were following them that said, we want to get on board with that. And Satan didn't like that one bit. Satan said, if I can stop him, I'll stop him. If I can kill him, I'll kill him. If I can't kill him, I'll take the disciples. Whatever it does, I don't like it. You see, beloved, when the church gets on fire for God and folks start getting right with the Lord and revival starts breaking out and people start getting saved, honey, you better watch out. You better get prepared. You better plant them feet and have on the armor of God. You know why? Because you have made the devil mad and he's going to come out at you tooth and toenail. He's going to fight with everything he's got. Did you know that the devil trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees? The best way that you and I, as Brother Keith prayed a while ago, is to have that united front when the devil attacks, when the devil, and by the way, it comes just a little stuff sometimes. It'll come, you know, somebody will say a little something, and then somebody else say a little something, and I don't hear nothing. Nobody ever talks to me anyway. But it just happens sometimes. And folks get upset, and then all of a sudden, the devil wants to stir up. You know why? Because the church of Jesus, if it's doing something for God, if it's plowing, if it's trying to make a headway, if it's trying to win people to Jesus, we're not going to have it easy. It's a fight to the finish. But we ought to say, hallelujah to God. Amen. I'd rather be in a church where it's trying to do something for God. And listen, some of you sitting here tonight say, preacher, you know, we don't look good. How are we going to pay our bills? And how... Listen, we're not bankrupt. Jesus ain't bankrupt. But I tell you what, friend, if we'll have faith to believe God, with him, all things are possible. Y'all believe that? Little is much when God is in it. I had rather have a church that's doing something for God and praying where the next dollar comes to. Thank God we ain't got, we've got a few dollars. Hallelujah for that. We've got a jug of money up here. If it comes down to it, then praise God, we'll buy everybody a Pepsi Cola and a pack of Nabs and fast the rest of the week. Say amen. Here's what I'm saying. I'd rather for a church try to be doing something for God and struggling to pay the bills or struggling because you know what, friend? We've done made the devil mad. I'd rather have that than to have a church that has $2 million sitting in the bank and ain't doing a thing for the Lord. Amen. Say amen right there. Little as much when God is in it. You see, the Lord Jesus had these men that were following him. And he said, when the winds beat against the ship. And here I'm finished with this. Keep in mind, that ship is a picture of the church. And the storms are going to come. The trials are going to come. The pain is going to come. I'm not trying to paint a gloomy picture. I'm trying to paint reality. But thank God, the Lord Jesus stands up in the midst and he says, peace, be still. And the winds cease and the waves cease. And thank God, we are on the winning side. So go ahead, devil, take your best shot. Because I got news for him. His days are numbered. Amen? His days are numbered. Thank God, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're headed to that celestial city. Don't let anything deter us. Don't let the circumstances of life get you focused. Say, by the good grace of God, Jesus steps on board, speaks peace. As long as he's our captain and we're following him, the devil can't stop us, can he? Amen. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. It can come in different ways. It can come in different methods. You know, we have much to be thankful for. I close with this. I don't compare our church to anybody else's church. I do know some other churches are struggling worse. I believe it's a sign of the times, friend. There are some churches today not doing a thing for God, and they've got mega bucks in the bank. What good is it? Amen. What I'm saying to you tonight, stay with the ship. Amen. Stay focused. Stay contented. Stay with the captain. Don't bail out. Don't jump ship. Because in the end, he'll speak peace.